speak to minds, and God, bring what it is that you want to come about in this service. Lord, I trust you. I thank you, Father God, for using me today as you choose. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, in Isaiah 61, this verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the joy of mourning and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Last week I talked about the most important mission. This was his mission. This was the mission that Jesus came to do. That mission was to free people. That mission was to set at liberty the captives. And we saw that last week. We saw that very, very important moment where Jesus actually said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Actually, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 4, let's see what happened there. Luke 4. Hallelujah. And verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery sight
Hallelujah.
To the blind. Yes. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Yeah, this was his message. This was his message. To open eyes. To set the captives free. You know, and as I was studying for today and thinking about Palm Sunday, the Lord had me go through the I am statements of John. And so right now, we're just going to go through those quickly. The I am statements of John. In the Gospel of John, I love the fact that John, we have the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, we have four accounts of it from four different perspectives. But something about John, even though John's is a little bit smaller and shorter, John's, because of the timeline, you see how John sets everything up under the direction of the Holy Spirit to show a different aspect of the triumphal entry. We see that John, it's like watching, you know how you watch old movies sometimes and you're like, oh, that's not in HD, right? And then all of a sudden you watch a movie that's in HD, right? That's kind of what happens with John when he tells the story. It's not that the others, I'm not diminishing the others, it's just that somehow he provides definition to what's going on. And I was brought over to John chapter 6 and verse 35. John chapter 6 and verse 35. Hallelujah. During this Easter season, this next week is so vital to celebrate. It's not vital because we're expecting God to come in the sense that he's coming in the physical. He already came. Now, we can lift our heads up and know that he could come again at any time.
Amen.
And we should have that watchful eye on the up. We should. Because any day, Jesus could come. And we want to be ready. Right? But notice what it says in John 6:35. John 6:35. These are what are known as the I am statements. And notice what he said to them. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He said he was the bread of life. This message of his, this most important message was he was the sustenance that you need. The spiritual sustenance that you need. Just like you need air, you need him. Just like you need water, you need food, you need him to bring the sustenance to your life. He then goes on in John chapter 8, verse 12. You know, as I was preparing, I felt like the Lord said, take them through the I am statements. Because I am those things to your people. I am those things to Westchester Family Church. He is our bread. He is our light. Notice what it says here. And there in John chapter 8 and verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of life. To a dark world, he gives you light. So that you're not stumbling around, he gives you light. So that regardless of what's going on in the world, he gives you light. One of the statements I made to Pastor Christine when I was driving and just crying, I just said to her, I said, I see brighter. I see wider and I see brighter. It's because he's my light. He's my light. You know, right after that service, Reverend Joe Catnese was also in that service. And he sat over at the end of the service. He sat near me at a luncheon. And he just kind of turned over to me and he said, you will see things differently in your ministry and in your church. And if your church will hook up with that, you'll see different changes coming. And I was like, oh my God, I will receive that. Amen. Amen. You receive that? Amen. I thought that was encouraging. So he's our light.
That's right.
He is our light. Hallelujah. He also said an interesting I am phrase in John 10. You're close there. John 10. Now, we usually go to John 10 talking about the thief comes to rob, steal, and kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. But in John chapter 10 and verse 7, he says this. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. He says it again in verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in, out, and find pasture. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the entrance, is what he's saying. I'm the entrance to you. This most important message is that he is our bread. He is our sustenance. He is our life. He is our entrance to the things of God, to the kingdom of God. And then I love it in John chapter 11. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, John chapter 10 still. Hang on. Excuse me. John, give me one moment. John 14. Hallelujah. John 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, there's a lot of people who don't know their way right now. We've got a generation of young people that are grabbing at everything, looking for a cause, looking for something that they can feel identity with. And it's going to come up empty. Unless they find him. It's going to come up empty. Because true life is only going to be found in him. It says, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm a way. He didn't say, I'm another way to God. He didn't say that. He said, I am the way. Listen, if he was just a good teacher walking this planet and doing the things that he did, he wouldn't have ruffled so many people. But as soon as there was an exclusivity involved, as soon as he said, I am the way, it offended some. It's going to still offend some today. You got to know that. The gospel is going to offend people. If the gospel is not offending people, it's not the gospel.
Amen.
I didn't write it, and I didn't say it, so don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you, he said, I am the way. He said, I'm the truth. Not your truth, and not his truth, and her truth. He said, I am the truth. One of my mentors used to say it this way, you can take truth, you can turn it upside down, and it still will be truth. You can take truth and you can throw it up against the wall. It will still be truth.
That's right.
When it comes down.
That's right.
Truth doesn't change with the wind.
That's right.
Or the culture. I'll leave that there. And he said, I'm the life. I'm the Zoe, the God kind of life. The same God of the universe that breathed into the dust to form Adam is here in your life if you've accepted him into your life and accepted his forgiveness. His breath flows through your lungs. His life. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And he said this. This is where the exclusivity comes in. And this is what bothers people. This is what bothers. Why do you think communists shut down churches? Why do you think they stifle the word of God? Why do you think they want this book shut down? Because it produces life. And then they no longer can control. There's utterance in this house today because he's here.
Amen.
He's here. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Exclusivity. Yeah. He said it. He said it. So he's the bread of life. This most important message. He lived this life, and his life was his message. The bread sustained, the light guides, the door is the entrance. He is the way. He is the way. Now go back to John 11. John 11. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. I am the resurrection and the life. Those things in your life that you thought were dead, he's resurrecting them. Those things in your life, those old dreams that you've had, I challenge you to pick them up, hold them in your hand, and say, Hosanna, you're mighty to save this. Because that thing that you're hanging on to, that you thought was dead, is not dead. Not when the Master comes by. Not when he comes by. And when he speaks. Oh, he's good. Say he's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. All right. Let's keep reading there in John 11. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as they heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was at the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then Mary came where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him? And then some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Verse 39, this is what I want you to get today. This is the most important message for you to take away, to take home with you. And he said, take away the stone. I want you just to think about that just for a second. The boldness of his message. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where they had laid the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. Because of the people who are standing by, I said this, and they may believe that you sent me. Now when they had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Glory.
For some of you today, on this Palm Sunday, Jesus is saying, remove the stone.
Yes.
Because I want to come in to that dead place in your life and bring life.
Amen.
And he wants to loose you out of your grave clothes today.
Thank you, Lord.
It may be a small thing. I'll be honest with you about it. I had gotten to a point where I was kind of living and existing with my vision. I had believed God to a point. To a point. And I was existing and kind of just coasting. Listen, he wants more for us. He wants more for us to walk into his life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, he shall live. Remove the stone and come out. He wants to loose you from the things that have to do with death and disappointment and dying and all of the things that have brought pain to your life. He wants to loose you out of that. That is his most important message. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. His message becomes our message.
Yes.
He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the resurrection. And he also says to each one of us that he's our shepherd. He said that he is the shepherd. The good shepherd. John 10. Verse 11, he said, I'm the good shepherd.
Yes.
I'm the good shepherd. Aren't you glad you've got a good one?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got a good one. He's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Whatever it is you lack in your life, he will lead you into green pastures. Lead you to where you need to be. Protect you from the wolves. He's there for you. He's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Hallelujah. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. His message was his life. His entire life was his message. His entire life was his message. And his message gave life. And our life can live his message. His message gives life. And now our life can live his message. Opening the eyes, setting the captives free. He is your resurrection. He is your life. He is your good shepherd. And he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Thank you, Lord.
He also said that he was the vine. In other words, you need to stay connected to him. John 15. I love the fact that John brings the detail. He brings the detail. And it said that John penned, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, this writing some 30 years after the others drew up theirs. I think it was, you know, John was the only one who didn't see death as a martyr. But man, they tried to kill him. If you know John's story, at one point one of the Roman emperors dipped him in hot oil. And he came out talking to him. Think about that for a second. He knew some things. They tied him in a chair. Put him in a vat of boiling oil so he could be like a crispy critter. And when they pulled him up, he pointed his finger at the emperor and kept on talking. And since they couldn't shut him up, the emperor says, fine, I'm going to put you on a rock called Patmos. Prison. Sent him there. You know what he did? He started churches in the prison. This is a man who knew something about the resurrection and the life of God. This is a man who saw the stone get rolled away And when Jesus said, "Move that stone," this is a man who had experienced the resurrected life. And he stayed connected. John 15:1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Verse 5 says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Nada. Zip. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Stay connected." Stay connected to the life of God. Stay connected to the truth. Stay connected to the resurrected life of God. I just went through very simply the messages of the I am statements that are recorded in John. He's your nourishment. He said, "I am the bread of life." He said, "I am the light of the world." He said, "I am the door." I'm the entrance, if you will. "I am the resurrection and the life. I'm your good shepherd. I am the way. And I am the vine." This most important message is for you and me to live. It's to live. When we see, turn with me over there in John again. You're there quickly. In John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 12. "The next day a great multitude had come to the feast, and when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.'" Verse 16 says this, "His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these were the things that were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead and bore witness." I want you to know that crowd kept building with intensity. It kept building with intensity. And what I sense in my heart for us and for the church, I think we're at a pivotal point right now in the world. I believe that we're at a point where the Church of Jesus Christ needs to rise up, and they need to not just be always on the receiving end, but understanding that we can bring his message, the great I am, to wherever people are. That we can be those instruments of healing. We can be the ones who touch and say, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." We can be the ones who say, "God loves you. He's got a plan for you." We can be the ones under the power of the Holy Spirit to set the captives free. Loose him and let him go. When Jesus said that, he said it with authority. When you allow his message, this most important message, to become your message, I'm telling you, there is a difference that will come in your life. Wherever it is in your life, let the stone be moved away. Let him invade those dark places. Let him call you out so that you can bring forth the I ams to the rest of the world, that he is the bread of life. Bring forth that bread. You get to be a delivery person. You get to be kind of like a spiritual Uber. Uber Eats. Yeah, you do. You get to say, "Hey, I got something for you. You need healing? You need provision? Yeah. Yeah, you need a touch? I'm on my way." Wouldn't it be? I bet some of you already, because I know some of you. You're already that person at your workplace that even the heathen come to when they're in trouble. I've had it. I've had people come to me, people who I know, they don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with, oh, that next Doug, he's the preacher. Right? But when their life is hurting, and when they need provision, when they need prayer, who do they come to? Who do they go to? Would you pray for me? Kind of reminds me of when Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night so nobody would see. You see, there's a world that acts like they've got it all together. They act like they've got the cause that they need. But they're empty on the inside. And when the lights are out, who are they going to go to?
I am he. That's right. I am he. Amen.
Who are they going to go to? They're going to come to you. Because why? You're shining his light. His message has now become your message. That he came to set the captives free. You're bound? What do you mean you can't sleep? Let me pray for you. You're going to be able to sleep. You know, but that's going to take us stepping into a little bit of boldness. Remember what Jesus did with Lazarus? Remove the stone. Now you're committed. Lord, by now he stinketh. In the King James language. And everybody was watching. But you know, it didn't matter. You know why? Jesus knew who he was. And when you know who you are in Christ, the boldness comes. You see, boldness is a result of knowledge. It's knowledge that you know something. You've communed with the Heavenly Father, and you can be bold. You've been with Jesus. The disciples, when they were originally arrested after the death, burial, and resurrection, what did they say in Acts chapter 4? These men took notice. They were unschooled men, but they had been with Jesus. Why? Because they started talking like him. They started acting like him. Gold and silver have I none, but what I have, I give you. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Let the church arise. Hosanna, mighty to save. He is that King today for you. I'm reminded of, you know, as we approach this Easter week, I'm reminded of when they came for Jesus in the garden. They came for him. They had an entire Roman regiment with Judas. And they asked, "Where is Jesus of Nazareth?" And you know what he said? He used the same exact term that is in Exodus chapter 3. He said, "I am." And when he said, "I am," an entire Roman regiment fell to their face.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Because I am is how God revealed himself to Moses. Who should I say sent me? Tell them I am that I am sent you. Jesus is sending you. Jesus is sending you. The great I am. The great I am sends you to take on the most important message. To set at liberty those that are captive. Take off the grave clothes. Remove the stone. And let the life of God come in. Let the light of God come in. Let the bread of life come in. I'm telling you, church, I believe that we are at a pivotal time in history. Getting ready for one day, the clouds will part. And he will come. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be scrambling around trying to get my act together. I don't want to be like, "Ooh, sorry, Lord. Oh, yeah, I got to get that. Oh, yeah. Don't come in here." You know, if we knew, now just think about this just for a second. If we knew that the president or the governor, and I don't, you know, just out of mere respect,
Whether you voted for people or not, whether you like somebody or not, listen to me. If we knew that they were coming in that door this morning, do you think that we wouldn't be prepared? If we got word from the Secret Service that President Biden is coming here today, do you think that everything would be picked up? That every little detail would be tended to? That we would be ready. We would probably dress different, right? I'm just telling you, we would be ready naturally speaking. Jesus is getting ready to come back to planet Earth. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to live the most important message that he gave us. To set at liberty those that are bound. Remove the stone. You say, Pastor, what do I do with this message? I believe that God is speaking right now. And for some of you, there has been a stone in your way that's tried to hold you back, that's tried to keep you back. Could be unforgiveness. It could be sickness. It could be anxiety, fear, worry, lack, disappointment. Whatever it is, I want you just to imagine it as a stone that Jesus himself is speaking over right now, and he's saying, remove it. So that my life and my light can come in that dark place. It could be a habit. It could be a thing that you and only you know about, and God says, just remove it. Remove the stone. There is an action that if you take, he'll invade that situation. Jesus himself didn't go and move the stone. He had cooperation. And in your life, he's going to look for your cooperation. Look at what he did to Moses. What do you have in your hand? I have a staff. What's in your hand? When he needed to feed the thousands, what do we got? Well, we got some loaves and fishes this little boy has. What do you have to give him? He's looking for your cooperation to remove the stone so that he can invade that space. And you know what? He didn't even have to go inside the tomb. All he had to do was speak. And when he speaks, circumstances change. Death flees. Fear can't stay. Worry can't stay. Sickness can't stay. Come on. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Mighty to save. Now, if you keep reading, John chapter 11, we see he raises Lazarus from the dead. We see that he is worshipped. Mary pours the oil, the perfume on him. He's being prepared for his message and his ministry. And then the people are crying out in the streets, Hosanna, mighty to save, mighty to save, mighty to save, mighty to save. Hosanna, mighty to save, mighty to save. Why palms? Why palms? It was a custom of ancient times. Palms represented victory. Palms represented a celebration of victory, that there was a victory over that situation. So today, your areas of your life where there's been a stone, where there has been grave clothes, where you thought something was dead, he's speaking life to it right now, right now, right now, right now. In just a moment, we're going to have palms in our hands. And symbolically, I want you to see the stone that is blocking you, the stone that is keeping you in a cave of darkness, the stone of anxiety, worry, fear. I want you to see that stone being moved out of the way. and his life and his light coming in. Can you do that right now? Let's stand. I believe that the same God that raised Jesus from the dead is here today. And he's speaking to some of you about that stone. I want you just, as you get a palm in your hand, I want you just to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes. There is a song that I'm going to ask Colin to play. Our worship team is going to play a song probably at the very end. But this song, I want you to hear it. And as it's being played, I want you just to know that God is moving things out of the way for you. And the path is being cleared for you. Now we see in the story of Palm Sunday that his ministry built to a climax. Everywhere he went, people were healed. The dead were raised. God was on the move. This was a mission like none other. It was the most important mission. The most important mission. And the culmination of it was going to be on the cross. And the enemy had no idea. You say, what do you mean he had no idea? Didn't the enemy kill him? Yes. But the scripture tells us they would not have crucified the Lord of glory had they known what this was about. This was God's divine mission. To set you free. To set me free. To bring healing to your life. To my life. I want you just symbolically just to wave these in the air. Just wave them in the air. Just wave them in the air. Just wave them in the air. Hallelujah. Close your eyes. If you need to sit, you can. For those of you that have physical limitations, this is a little long song. But I want you just to imagine those stones right now being taken off. Those situations are changing right now. Those situations are changing. God is taking situations and he's changing them right now. Yeah, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. As an act of worship, we thank God. We're preparing the way. Jesus wants to move in your life. The great I am, he's moving right now. Right now. Right now. Let him move. Let him move. Let him meet you. Yeshua is Savior. He is our Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Right now, right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you right now. Those that have situations in their life that need to change. Right now. It's changing right now by the Spirit of God. It's changing right now by the Spirit of God. It's changing right now. Right now. Right now. If you had a physical limitation in your body, I want you to do something you couldn't do before. Do something you couldn't do before. If you couldn't raise your hand up like this, raise it up. If you couldn't lift up your leg, lift it up. If you couldn't bend down, bend down. Whatever it is that is your ailment, I believe that the healer is in the house today. Yeshua. Hosanna, mighty to save. He's here. He's here. He's here right now. Right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now just begin to thank Him. Lift your voice and thank Him. Even with the music, go ahead. Lift your voice and thank Him right now. Thank Him right now. There is breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. There is none like Him. 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 Thank you, Lord. He's coming in right now. Right now. Right now. He's coming in right now to those situations. He's writing that situation down in the name of Jesus.
Come on, church.
Glad. I'm glad. I'm so glad. Amen. 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 Our closing verse today, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do so. If you're watching online, at home, somebody linked you to this page. You can have the great I Am, Jesus, come and live on the inside. It's real simple. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, He died for your sins, and you accept that forgiveness by faith and confess Him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. If that's you, you can do that. Well, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. And you can pray along with me. Say, Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for being the resurrection and life. I receive your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead. I call Him my Lord and my Savior from this day forth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need special prayer, if